Thank you, David. No punches pulled there. Is there anybody in the room who wasn't insulted by that? I was trying to say. We shall see during the panel discussion, but the list is long for the issues that we need to discuss with each other. And this next session, which is kind of an artificial boundary here between plenaries, but moving into a session where leaders in the field are going to talk about the major challenges. I mean, the challenges are huge. As David said, we at least ideologically, if not in fact, are moving towards consumer-driven, consumer-centric, person-centric care and services. It's already happened in aged care. It's happening in disability. It will probably happen in other places too. So we all talk about how we're customer-centric, but usually it's bull, because it's very, very hard to do, even though we're genuinely mean to do it. And these are, you know, there are cultural shifts. We are in a different kind of community. Technology has moved. The technology of communication has moved. So this is an opportunity to hear from industry leaders in this area. Kind of remind you to use the presenter feedback for this plenary session, which is probably, when it's fresh, it's at its best, on your app. Remember to SMS text messages at any time to the number on the screen. Do we have the number on the screen? That's the SMS number on the screen. So text messages any time to that, and we will record them for the panel discussion. And our first speaker in this session is Carmel Donnelly. Carmel's the Acting Chief Executive of the State Insurance Regulatory Agency, has been so since March of this year. She was previously Executive Director in SIRA, General Manager of Strategy and Performance for the Safety, Return to Work and Support Agencies in New South Wales, General Manager of Motor Accidents Authority of New South Wales, and many other positions, including Review Director and Premier and Cabinet, and Associate Director in New South Wales Health. Immense experience and in an area now with immense challenges. Please welcome Carmel. No pressure, Carmel. Absolutely none.
Thank you. Hi, everyone. Thank you, Norman. And thank you to the Actuaries Institute for the opportunity to speak with you today. I'd also like to begin by acknowledging the traditional custodians of the land on which we meet and pay my respects to elders past, present and emerging and Aboriginal colleagues here today. Now, just as a bit of background, I want to talk to you about changes, challenges and opportunities, and from the perspective of CIRA, the State Insurance Regulatory Authority of New South Wales, we've been in existence for a little over 2 years, and we regulate and steward CTP insurance, workers' compensation insurance, home building compensation, and have a few other touch points in the statutory schemes in New South Wales. I particularly want to highlight some insights around change, challenge and opportunity, mainly from the perspective of the CTP reform agenda that we have been working on, particularly over this year, but it takes a long time to be an overnight success in all things, including statutory insurance. And before I do talk about those insights, I'd like to begin by particularly acknowledging all the people, whether in CIRA or professionals working in our field in New South Wales, who have been contributing over a long period of time and are very busily contributing in New South Wales to our CTP reforms. The four key insights start with customer experience and outcomes. I want to talk a bit about data and digital innovation, opportunities and challenges associated with better injury prevention, and the importance of an inclusive approach to stakeholder engagement, which has been a very big lesson for us in New South Wales. In talking about customer experience, you can see there's a lot of people there, and when we talked about CTP, you know, we have close to 8 million people in New South Wales, 5.5 million purchases of policy for CTP. Now, I start from the insight that we all know that if we are in the market to purchase something ourselves and we feel that the customer value is not there, if the value for money is not there, if the offer is not something that we think is going to, you know, attract us, there's no sale. But in statutory schemes, where it's mandatory that you purchase a policy, there's a risk that we will be blind as the people working in those schemes to the fact that if it wasn't mandatory, there would be no sale. And so I want to couch my discussion of insights around customer experience and customer outcomes, firstly, around the current context that we are in, the need for us to face up to the truth that if the purchasers of a mandatory product don't believe that there's a good value for money proposition, then they begin to lose trust in the institutions that and the people and the professionals that are associated with that market. And I want to just leave a question there that many people like myself who are officials in senior roles in government are talking globally about, did we assume democracy would always exist? Because what happens if people lose trust in the mandatory requirements of governments? But let's turn to CTP. David mentioned 1999 and things did track along well, and when I went to the Motor Accidents Authority working with David, I got to appear for the first time in front of Law and Justice and talk about historically good CTP premium affordability. I still remember that. But not so good now. In 2013, there was an attempt by the government to make reforms which weren't successful in the Legislative Council. In 2015, New South Wales Government announced that it would begin consulting on a reform package. The old scheme that we're about to replace has had the highest premiums in the country. They increased by over 70% over 10 years. Only 45 cents in the dollar was going to services related to injured people, so that's a very low efficiency rate. Fraud has been adding $75 per greenslip. Insurer profits regarded as too high. Legal representation in minor claims increased, doubled. So that's the value proposition that was there for the people of New South Wales. On the side of the person who may have had an injury, and that could be any of those nearly 8 million road users in New South Wales, again, a very large group of people that we serve, the access to help was not perceived as adequate. Delay, adversarial environment, complexity, adding to that experience. Now, I want to link that to the deeply disturbing evidence that we've all seen, the very confronting evidence that people in a compensation scheme may in fact do worse than if they didn't have compensation in terms of health outcomes or return to work or other social outcomes. And in particular, we know that there is very strong evidence that perceived injustice, that an adversarial experience, that stress diminishes those outcomes for a proportion of injured people who are claiming compensation. And I know that this translates across not just CTP but workers' comp, and there are some of my team, Sriani Diaz and Kath Day, who I'll do a shameless plug for, who are talking about some of those findings in workers' compensation in the program. So the reform package, which I won't go into a lot of detail about, but it's characterised by increased access to benefits, an increased proportion of benefits going to more seriously injured people, and faster access. Christian Fanker and Bevan Dam are talking about that in more detail. And also a less adversarial climate. So we are really aiming on focus on wellbeing and recovery with this new scheme that went through in legislation in March and commences in New South Wales for claims from 1 December. We have reduced fraud, and part of that is a fantastic collaboration with New South Wales Police, where we've had over the last 12 months, a bit shorter period, 16 arrests, 100 charges laid related to an alleged $12 million in fraud. Certainly a lot of changes in behaviour that we have detected since that has been very publicly signalled. And the other initiative is around reducing premiums. So, yes, a reduction of an average $120, and we now have that in the market. And John Valance and Vivian C are talking about that a little bit more. In moving on to data and digital innovation, one real insight for us was that we needed to move our capacity to have both data analytics and digital service delivery significantly. I just want to touch on some of the things that we have in place. We have established a CIRA data lake, which is within New South Wales' Data Analytics Centre. We are getting close to real-time claims and policy data from insurers, and you know, we have a great capacity for ingestion of data from a range of different sources. Building the metrics, the predictive modelling that goes with that. We also have in the workers' comp scheme established an insurer supervision model that's supported by some really good tools as well, in which we integrate data from different sources and can have complete audit trail evidence base around interactions with insurers, where we'll sit down and say, is this data valid? We've triggered a risk. We've allocated it to your portfolio manager. They're talking to you now. Let's confirm the data's valid. Now we have the action plan. We'll keep tracking to see that your performance is back on track, so that we're really moving to a performance-based regulation approach. The important thing about the nearly real-time data in CTP is that we get it fast enough to take some action in time to act in the interest of the customer. We have a number of other data and digital innovation products that are in the field now or close to being in the field. We have online claims notification already and are continuing to enhance that. We will very shortly be launching an online dispute resolution portal. We're building up a service called CTP Assist, in which there are multi-channels for obtaining information, in which there will be proactive calls out to claimants to check things are okay, and then a service from the independent regulator following up and supporting a claimant where there is a need for that, and handing off to dispute resolution for independent resolution if required. We have a new green slip price check, which you might want to have a look at. It's very intuitive. It has a very good rating engine behind it. We are building, again in workers' compensation, about to go live with an intuitive web-based app about have you been injured at work, and guiding you through that process. And we have widgets on our website that are giving feedback very intuitively and easily, that people give us feedback about what helped and what didn't. Middle of last year, government passed legislation enabling CIRA to obtain more information from point-to-point transport providers, both taxi and Uber, so that we're getting information about from their booking systems. And we are actively encouraging the use of telematics to enable exposure-based pricing for green slip, for CTP risk. Now, in a further insight, I just want to talk a little bit about, you know, we all know, and I think it might come up later, autonomous vehicles. There's also great capacity for robotics in any kind of workplace and artificial intelligence. Will there be a safety dividend from that is a really important question. I want to talk a little bit about the challenges and opportunities that come from injury prevention. Start from the obvious truth that if I ask you how many people here want to see more people injured at work or on the roads, it will be nobody. It will be none of us. And we hope that that will happen. Of course, we need to be vigilant about psychological injury, about other hazards that may emerge from new technology. But assuming that we have a huge safety dividend from the technology ahead of us, will that mean that there's reduction in social costs and reduction in demand? And this, I think, we need to put on the table as a challenge for those of us, including myself, who work in injury, personal injury insurance, who draw our salaries from this, who are invested in being part of this system, because it's not a growth industry in terms of volume. It shouldn't be a growth industry, and all the signs are it isn't, thankfully. But what does that mean? Now, some insights, not entirely from CTP, from other places, and including insights and reflection of ourselves at CIRA, that if you start at the top with we experience a reduced demand, there's an impact on service providers of reduced demand. So all of us who have got mortgages and kids and costs and, you know, this is an impact on the way that we work, the way that we earn a living. So there's a need for us to be alert to the fact there may be unexpected results. There may be over-servicing. There may be people who think, well, I'll just take a defender kind of attitude here and try and outlast this change. But I want to question the wisdom of that, especially in the context of if there's not a great value proposition, in my case in New South Wales, for 8 million people, will we erode trust? And is that what's at stake here? So our experience in CTP, this obviously was a very long journey to consult, to listen, to consult, to listen, to reflect. And the big insight for us, and I'm not saying that, you know, we're exemplary in this, this is an insight that we need to work on and that I invite everyone to work on, is that we need to focus on growing value and working with everyone about how do you have sustainable value, how do you stay at the table and solve for an increase in value for those people who are the customers, the policyholders and the injured people. In the end of the CTP reform, the development of the package, when it was introduced into Parliament, our Minister, Victor Dominello, quoted John Della Bosca, who we had invited back to be an advisor with John Trowbridge and John Walsh after the 2013 not-so-successful attempt at CTP reform. And I was in the room when John Della Bosca said CTP reform is like the beginning of Saving Private Ryan. And that's what we thought was inevitable. But it wasn't inevitable. Massive insight for us, because another John was quoted by Victor Dominello in that quote about success having many fathers and mothers. And he went on to thank over 50 individuals and their associations and organisations in Parliament. I think, if I end on a final insight, it's the importance given all of those challenges that we do continue to consistently and continuously look for how to solve for increased value, that we don't wait for these schemes to fall into crisis. And so the challenge and the opportunity is to be at the table, to be included and to stay with and solve for the problem. Thank you.